Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Bishop Will T. Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life, power and authority. For more information about Christians Community Center of Los Angeles Ministries and other teachings opportunity, please visit www.cccla.org. We also want you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15, must study, showing thyself approved unto Jehovah, a workman, needing not to be ashamed, but rightly divine word of truth. Shalom. They that wait upon Yahweh shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wait upon Yahweh, and again I say, wait upon Yahweh. We thank you all for joining us. First of all, for those who are joining us on the internet, thank you. Those who are joining in Spanish and English, we thank you for joining us. Hopefully you will get an opportunity to visit us in person and have that fellowship with us. If you care to give to this ministry, you can do so by looking at the bottom line there. There's something there that will give you information on how to give. And we say again, thank you. Amen. I quoted that scripture, they that wait upon Yahweh shall renew their strength. Because the day and age that we are living in, if you don't wait on Yahweh, you're not going to make it. We're living in a very dangerous time. It has come so subtly, that, you know, when things come subtly, you don't notice that they are there, because they came so subtly over time. And before you know it, you wake up one day and it's in full blossom, full bloom, and the church is the target of these evil spirits. So I'm going to start off this morning going back to the book of Yohanan, which you would call John. But the truth of the matter is nobody can be named in the Hebrew John. There is no J in the Hebrew language, so nobody could be called John. And you might say, well, that's not important. But it is important, because if you change the name, then you will also change the name of our Savior, whose name is Yeshua, and he's called Jesus. There's no way that anyone can be called Jesus in the Hebrew. And he was a Hebrew. But I want us to go back to something that's much more important. Something that we many times have not taken note of. And I think one of the knocks on the so-called Christian or believer is that we say we walk by the word of Yahweh, but we don't even know what it said. It's like a something that we just say. You know, I'm a person of the word. But we violate the word. And how can you be a person of the word if you violate the word? Does that make sense? Amen. So we're going to go back again to the book of Yohanan, the 4th chapter, the 23rd verse. But the hour cometh. Somebody said, not here yet. But the hour cometh. Yeshua is responding to, as I said a few weeks ago, to a conversation that he's having with a woman. We call her the woman at the well. We don't know what her name was, but in the conversation, the concept of worship came up. The woman talked about worshiping in the mountain and that the Hebrews worship in Jerusalem. But Yeshua is responding to that statement. And he says, we'll start the 22nd verse, you'll get a better idea. He said to the woman, you worship, you know not. He said to the woman, you are worshiping, but you don't have the foggiest idea what you're worshiping. Because you are setting up some type of image, and you're worshiping that image, and you fail to realize that some evil spirit is behind that image. But because you think you're worshiping God, then that means you don't know what you're worshiping. And I suppose in the time that this woman lived in, that these things were normal. Because most people of that time worshiped things. But then we look at it again today and find out that a lot of people today worship things. Am I right or wrong? Amen. They worship money. And they don't have the foggiest idea what evil spirit is behind that money. They have convinced America that it is not good to talk about folks making too much money. And so even poor folks defend the grafters. Those who cheat and crook and hook, the bankers and the Wall Street, and they say, we made the money because we are smarter and we are work harder. But the reality, some of them didn't work at all. Amen. And folks who are here scuffling, trying to make a living, worship that money. So Yeshua said to her, a lot of time people get in situations, sometimes by birth, sometimes by brainwashing, where they begin to worship things and they don't have the foggiest idea what it is they're worshiping. So he says, you worship what you know not. He said, For we know what we worship. For salvation is of the Yehudi. He says, the Hebrew is the one who worship Yahweh. At least we know who we worship. Amen. Do you know who you're worshiping today? Amen. We are worshiping Yahweh in Yeshua. So we know who we are worshiping, but she didn't. But she had an excuse. Because Yeshua said to her, but the hour cometh. And now is. And the reason he said now is because he's here now. And he's going to begin this true worship. But he has to go to the cross first. He has to be killed and he has to be resurrected. And then and only then can the true worshiper come into focus. So he says, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshiper, somebody say true worshiper. Now, if there is a true worshiper, then it would stand to reason there is a false worshiper. But both of them think they are worshiping God. So he said, but the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Yahweh is spirit. Yahweh is spirit. Yahweh is spirit. Yahweh is not a preacher. Yahweh is not an organization. Yahweh is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, now he added this truth. Must worship him in spirit and in truth. What is that truth that they must worship him in? Yeshua in the 17th chapter of the book of Johannes said, sanctify them with your truth. Thy word is truth. So now there's four things here in this particular scripture that we should look at. First of all, that there is true worship. And that everybody who worshiped before this time that Yeshua was talking about was not the true worshiper. Next of all is that they must worship in spirit. Because Yahweh is seeking such to worship him. Third, that Yahweh is spirit. And fourth is that we are commanded to worship in spirit. So if we are not worshiping in spirit, we are not worshiping Yahweh, and we are not true worship. Then if only we can worship Yahweh in spirit, then what are many people worshiping Yahweh in? If they're not worshiping in spirit, then they would have to be worshiping him in their flesh. And not this flesh doesn't mean body. It means in their mind, in the way that they think. Have you heard people say, I don't think it should be that way? So they worship Yahweh in the way they think. And they can say, well, Yahweh should accept my worship as he accepts other people's worship. So first of all, I'm concerned for the believer. I have been around the church for a long, long time. I've been around the church for 40-some years. And I see a change of attitude in the church. Such a change of attitude that it scares me. When I came to Yeshua, of course, I did it in the name of Jesus because that's all we knew until I found out his real name. But you see, the true worshiper, if he didn't know he was worshiping that Jesus was the wrong name, Yahweh will show that to him because Yahweh knows that if he ever find out what is right, he will do it, or she will do it. So what he is doing is acceptable to Yahweh because his heart or her heart is right. And when they find out that they're wrong, they will change because they are true worshipers. I've seen everything. I've seen preachers. I've served with preachers who were whoremongers, fornicators, adulterers. I've served with preachers who were robbers. They took the church money and split. I've served with preachers who were thieves and evil speakers. And some people who see that happen and see preachers go wrong, they begin to think, well, nobody can do this, so I'll just do what I want to do too. But I've seen preachers go wrong. I've seen the whoremongers, the liars, and the thieves. But I never became a whoremonger or a liar or a thief. Because I'm a true worshiper. Are you getting the idea? I'm concerned about the church. Because I see in the church that we are accepting things that is not of Yahweh. You know, I see us actually beginning to believe that there's no difference. And so the question that the Holy Spirit asked me this week is what makes you different? Are the church people different than anybody else? Is there a distinguishing factor that you could easily discern who is of Yahweh and who is not of Yahweh? The lines are getting blurred today. It's not so easy to discern who is of Yahweh and who is not of Yahweh. Amen. Everybody talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. Amen. So I'm concerned. The Holy Spirit is concerned because my message has been over the past few weeks has been spiritual guidance. And so if Yeshua is correct, and he is, then the only way we can worship Yahweh is in the spirit of Yahweh. Would you agree? The reason that is so is because any other worship is not authentic. And it's of Satan. You could be sitting in the pews and worshiping Satan because you don't know what you're worshiping. You got things that's more important to you than God. You say it's not, but when the deal goes down, that thing wins. Am I right or wrong? So all these years I've served Yahweh. And I know the possibilities. I know you can stand. I know you can walk with Yahweh. I know you can live this life. If you are willing to be led in the spirit of Yahweh. So many of us, we get in our mind and we think it's okay. But I want to share with you something about being led and not being led that might help you come back. Here's what Yahweh says. If you will return to me, I will return to you. If you have gone astray, and you might not have left the church, you might not have done the fornication and the adultery and all of that, but in your heart, in your mind, you left God. You pretend like, oh, I'm okay. I ain't doing as much as other folks are doing. I saw Sister Sue the other night coming out the bar. So I'm okay. But God is not judging you by others. He's judging you by how you're walking in the Spirit and in the Word. So we want to expose some of this fleshly stuff that we might get into the spiritual stuff. Because in the spirit, there's life and there's peace. In this fleshly stuff, there's hatred and fighting and arguing and cussing. Turmoil. Baptized in Yeshua's name, but fighting. And fussing and cussing. Where did that come from? Yaakov says, Can a sweet fountain give bitter water? No. Huh. We have to confront these things. If we don't confront them, one day Yeshua is coming. And what's going to happen? How are we going to answer? And Shaul writes and said, I don't want to, when he comes, I don't want to be ashamed. Because when he comes, all of the darkness will be gone. All of the covers will be snatched off. And you will appear like you are and not as you pretend you are. And you will have to drop your head in shame. Romans 8. Let's get into it. And we don't have to go far today. Today is Super Bowl day. You all are wondering whether or not I'm going to keep you too long. But one thing for sure, for the believer, it don't make no difference. We'll catch what we catch. Now, I'm not saying that I'm going to purposely keep you long, because I know some of you are going to jump up and run out no matter what I do. I know that because your focus is not necessarily on Yahweh. And Yahweh has blessed us. He's given us all this technology. All we had to do was hit a button this morning. And say, record. Am I right or wrong? I'm supposed to know. I want to see the action. You know what I want to do? I want to hear from Yahweh. I want to know what he's saying to me. I want to know what his direction is. I want to know how I should walk and how I should talk. That's what I want to know. So, 8th chapter, 5th verse. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Let me try to help you there, because if I don't get down to the nitty gritty, you'll pretend like you don't understand what I'm talking about. If you fighting and fussing and cussing, you after the flesh. Why? Because you are minding the things of the flesh. If you're in the nightclub, you're in the bars. If you're flirting with married men or women, if you're still nipping and tucking, you're in the flesh. Word of God has drew the line. Now watch this. For they that are after the flesh, meaning operating in the flesh, mind the things of the flesh. Example. All of us come into situations in our lives where we are confronted with things that bother us, that makes us mad, that gets under our skin. Is that right or wrong? But it's how we respond to those things that determine whether or not we are in the flesh. We got church people out of control. They can't control themselves when they get mad. Am I right? They want to box. Amen. They want to cuss a little bit. They want to snap and say all kinds of stuff. And if you had not made me mad, I wouldn't have did that. You did it because you in the flesh. And I'm not bragging, but I haven't cussed since I got saved. I'm not bragging. All I'm trying to say is that if I can do it, you can do it. I was in the military 11 and a half years. And you know, if you know anything about military men, we cuss. That's all we do, we cuss. We cuss everything. We cuss the rent. We cuss the plane. We cuss each other. We cuss the weather. We military. We can cuss. So if anybody knew anything about cussing, I do. But when you get in the Spirit of God and you love God and you want to walk with God, you want to walk in the Spirit of your God, and you make up your mind that you're going to be attentive not to the things of the world but to the Spirit of Yahweh, He'll take that stuff out of you. He'll take it out of you. What time do the Super Bowl start? For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. This is unequal. Because they that are baptized in the Spirit can mind the things of the flesh. But folks that are in the flesh cannot mind the things of the Spirit. So what he says, they that are conscious, committed, determined to the great Spirit of Yahweh will always mind the things of the Spirit. So when they're confronted with things that get under their skin, things that make them angry. But because they are in the spirit, they don't respond in a fleshly way. So if you're responding in a fleshly way, you're in the flesh. You're minding the things of the flesh. If you're committing adultery or fornication, you're in the flesh. I don't care what you do. You could be preaching. You could be leading the choir. You could be the head deacon of a church. You could be anything. But you're in the flesh. God is saying to us, we got to refocus. We need to refocus. We need to examine. See, Yahweh said to the Hebrew, he said, you need to examine yourself. Most of the time, we're examining everybody else. Look over there, look over there. Look, man, you got enough job to just examine yourself. You got enough problem all by yourself. You don't need anybody else to examine. Look, you're the hospital and the doctor. You need to examine yourself. If you hadn't said that to me, I wouldn't have did that. No, come on. Don't even do that. Don't examine the person that said it. Examine who? Yourself. Now watch this. For to be carnally minded, meaning fleshly minded, is death. You die to the things of Yahweh when you get in the flesh. But to be spiritually minded is life and what? And peace. And here's why. See, Yahweh don't say anything without giving you the reason. He said, because the carnal mind, somebody say the fleshly mind. And the fleshly mind means the thought and all of that of your mind, that way you are thinking, that's your mind. If your mind is thinking earthly things, then it's thinking fleshly things. Okay? For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity or is an enemy of God. Think about it. When you get out there and you're saved and you go into that motel and you violate God's word in regards to fornication and adultery, you become an enemy of God, because he had commanded you not to do that and you did it anyway, so you became a what? An enemy of God. If you lost your cool and began to cuss and act up, you became a what? An enemy of God. Because he gave you a commandment to love and to be kind and to be gentle, and you left that. For it is not subject, talking about the carnal mind, to the teachings, the word law translated in the Hebrew Torah translated back in the English is teachings. Because according to my enemy to God, subject to the law, for it is not subject to the law, the teaching of Yahweh, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please. I lost my temper. I didn't mean it. Yes, you did, because you're in the flesh. When you're in the spirit, you'll draw back when that flesh tries to rise up. You'll pull back. Your spirit will draw you back.
You know, sometimes you'll almost go to the edge, but the Spirit will draw you back. Let me give you an example. We had a great meeting. This sanctuary was full. Chairs right back to the wall, chairs all down the lot here. And it was a meeting of a number of churches. And so the whole idea that we had gotten from the committee that I served on with these pastors was that we'll, you know, they didn't bother to call me pastor, and I didn't bother to call them pastor. We called each other by first name. But you called me pastor. I don't allow you to call me by my first name. Apostle, which is good. So we had this great meeting, and then they said, well, tell you what we'll do. You set everything up, you pay for everything, and when we have the offering, you can get the offering. Well, with 1,000 people here, if they gave $1 apiece, that's $1,000. And so we came up, said, let's take the offering. And this one pastor, who was jealous and in the flesh, he didn't want to see Will get any money. So when they started off, he jumped up and started speaking in tongues and told all the deacons, stop taking up the offering. God is here. So out of that 1,000 people, we took up, I think, $267. Didn't even cover our costs. And so we went up to our office after the meeting, and I'm behind my desk, and he walked in, and I stood up, and I was sitting down, and I said, if you do not know how to take up an offering, you ought to sit down. And he got in the flesh. He jumped up, put up his duke, you don't talk to me like that. And I rose to my feet, and I said, what you going to do? And Yahweh just slapped me in the face, man. I sit back down. See, sometimes the Spirit will draw you back from that. But I almost got lost. See, Yahweh will draw you back from these things. If you are minding the Spirit. So I had to leave that alone. But him and I never were good friends anymore. Ninth verse. But ye are not in the flesh. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you are not supposed to be in the flesh. Because you got the Holy Ghost. You're baptized in the Holy Ghost. You're not supposed to be in the flesh. But you are not in the flesh, but in the what?
Spirit.
Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of Yahweh dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Mashiach, he's none of his. The only way you can distinguish between the fleshly worshiper and the true worshiper is that the true worshiper have the Spirit. And the fleshly worshiper don't. He says that he got the Spirit, but he got the Spirit when he believed. And here's something so important that Yahweh would give it to you without any evidence. They that have not the Spirit is none of his. It is absolutely impossible for a person to serve Yahweh without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Absolutely impossible. And that is why so many who are called evangelical Christian conservative are so hateful, so compassionless, so unmerciful, so vindictive, so racist, that they lobby and vote to take food out of children's mouths. And they call themselves Christian. It has gotten so bad that I don't want to be called an evangelical. And I don't want to be called a Christian anymore, because it has lost its meaning. It don't mean anything. You can be mean, vindictive, merciless, racist, and still call yourself Christian. So it don't mean anything. I cringe when people call me Christian anymore. I am a believer in Yahushua. I am a believer in the great spirit of Yahweh. And in his son that came and died on the cross for us. But I am not a local Christian. And I am not a local evangelical, because they have put a bad name on God. Here's why. The Spirit will never violate the Word. The Spirit, let me say that again. The Spirit will never violate the Word. Remember, Yeshua said he's seeking them to serve him in spirit and in what? Truth, which is the Word. So I heard one man say, well, I know that they say we should feed the hungry, and I don't mind doing that, but the government. And I thought, you are so ignorant. Who do you think the government is? We the people, in order to establish a more perfect union, huh? To establish a, what is that? To ensure domestic tranquility, to provide for the common defense. We here. And then they talk about how we establish the government. We are the government. Each one of us can't help all the poor. But us collectively through the government can help the poor. Did you know it costs us 10 cents a day to feed for the food stamp? Did y'all know it costs the American people 10 cents a day? But they say they are Christian. They say they are evangelical. And that might mean something different. Look at the book of Luke. Luke 18. And this whole scenario came up when they bought little children, and the disciples said, take them away. 16th verse. But Yeshua called them unto him and said, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of Yahweh.
Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of Yahweh as a little child shall in no wise enter in. Turn right back to Luke 17:1. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offense will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone be hanged about his neck and be cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. So this word Christian is used loosely. Yeshua said in the 25th chapter, I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. I was sick and you didn't care for me. I was in prison and you didn't come to visit me. And they asked him, they said, when did we see you hungry? When did we see you naked? He says, as much as you have done it to one of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. How could we live in a country of so much and let people stop? How? Because people claim to be of Yahweh. They claim to be wise. But they're not. Look at the Yirmiyahu 8, and I'll leave you with this. Because I know I'm beginning to lose your attention. Yirmiyahu 8. And the 8th verse. How do they say we are wise and the Torah of Yahweh is with us? Lo, certainly in vain made he it. The pen of the scribe is in vain. So here are people saying they're wise. And so the question is, how can they say they're wise? And so I read it from the Hebrew. How can they say they are wise and that the Torah of Yahweh is with them? But behold, the false pen of the scribes have made a lie. 9th verse. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of Yahweh. And what wisdom is in them? And here's how it really read in the Hebrew. The wise man, they shall say, they shall be ashamed. They shall be dismayed and will be snared. Behold, in the word of Yahweh, they reject it. And what wisdom is to them? Or what wisdom is that? They say they know. They say they know the word. They say they are wise. But Yahweh says they have rejected that is written in my word. And what kind of wisdom is that? What kind of wisdom is that you will reject Yahweh's word? You say, I've never rejected Yahweh's word. But when you did something against Yahweh's word, you rejected Yahweh. What kind of wisdom is that? See, we listen to what people say, and it sounds like a great argument, but really, you don't have a reason to reject God's word or not to do God's word. What kind of wisdom
is that. Now I want to leave you with a couple of questions before I leave today. The first question is, and this is the thing for you to be thinking about. Is a person led in the spirit of Yahweh if they run with and hang with the unsaved? That's a question for you. Now, I want to refer you to 1 Corinthians, and I'm not going to read it. I just want you to read it yourself. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Your next question. Question number two. Is a person led by the Spirit that goes to secular concert? Goes to worldly concert. They want to hear the Who. And the, what you call them? The circular concert. They want to see, I don't know their name. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't sit here and try to play dumb with me. You don't see, but they want to see Beyonce take off her clothes. Yeah. Is that person led by the Spirit? No, I'm asking you to answer today. I just want you to think about it. These are just questions that you can think about. Is a person led in the spirit of Yahweh when they sneak out of the sanctuary when it's time for the word? Just something for you to think about. When it's time for the word, boom. If I say boom, these seats don't go up like that. But they're gone. And then they might come back, but 10 minutes later, they're up again. Gone. Are they being led in the spirit of Yahweh? Can a person who will not hear the word, don't want to hear the word, can that person lead something in Yahweh's service? I'm just throwing it out there. You can answer it later. You don't have to answer it anymore. Is a husband a wife who fight and fuss, are they led by the Spirit? Are they led in the Spirit? Don't answer. Is a boyfriend and girlfriend who fight and fuss, they both be saved, are they led in the Spirit? You have to answer that. Is that spiritual? Is a person who's always trying to look under and through the skirts of women, are they led by the Spirit? Are women who's always flirting with men, are they led by the Spirit? Let me tell you, this is common. Look, I was in a church. And the brothers said to me, we all of us brothers get together and we go out and we have dinner together after church. So I'm trying to be a good brother. So I said, okay, we'll go. And they take me to, all of us went, not all the brothers, to this place where, and I don't know whether any of y'all have ever been there, but this was many years ago. They took me to a place where they served the food in micro mini. And so I'm sitting there, and the brothers are ooh and ooh. And I'm sitting there thinking, now, wait a minute. This ain't right. And so the next month, they asked me to go, and I wouldn't go. Then the next month, they asked me to go, and I wouldn't go. And so, of course, now they're really upset with me because, you know, I'm out of unity with the brother. So they came to me, had a committee to come to me because I was a leader in the church. And they said to me, you don't want to be in unity with the brother. We all go off of dinner. I said, let me tell you something. I went out with you guys, and it wasn't no brothers there. All y'all oohing and eyeing and trying to look up the woman's skirts when they've been over. Y'all supposed to be saved. I'm saved. I ain't doing that. I don't want to go with you guys no more. So I lost a lot of the brothers. They hated me after that. They would get up and testify. He'd get one of the brothers get up. I'd be, you know, I was sitting on the rostrum as a preacher. He'd come down, look at old
Elder Washington. He's sitting up there with them old shiny shoes on, thinking he's something. They testified.
See, when you want to do right, folks get mad at you. They get hot. You can say, well, look, I'm not no person that I'm going to violate God just to make you happy. Look, if you're going to be a preacher, you can't be swayed by friendship. No, you can't get me to do nothing I don't want to do, just to be your friend. Not possible. Because I'm going to serve God. I don't care. Amen. Now, we'll end this off. You have to know that we can't serve him without the Spirit. So nearly 600 or so years ago, 600 or so years before this incident that he prophesies, he says this. Look at Yeshayahu 28. Look, if we're going to be saved, be saved. If you're not going to be saved, let the good time roll. You know, David said, my feet almost slipped. My steps were well nigh gone. When I looked out and saw the prosperity of the wicked, and I started saying, what am I doing? I'm trying to be saved. Look at them. They're getting away with it. He said, until I went into the house of Yahweh, and he heard the word of Yahweh, and he said, woe is me. I'm like a beast. Because I went to the house of Yahweh, and I heard that word, and I heard what their end is going to be. Ten. Well, let's start at the 8th verse. Now, he's talking about his people. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, and precept upon precept, line upon line, and line upon line. Here a little, and there a little. The Hebrew would say, here a little, and here a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Now, I want to read that 11th verse. In the Hebrew, if I have. For in stammering lips and in tongues afterward, he will speak unto this people. He didn't say an other tongue. He said in tongues. He will speak to these people. What do you mean? On the day of Pentecost, when the sound of a rushing mighty wind came to that room, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit of Yahweh gave utterance. And all of those people standing out there outside that room heard them speaking in their own language. Now, here you got about 16 to 18 different dialects, and they all heard it in their own specific dialect. That's impossible. With 120 folks all saying it, different things, speaking in tongues. That's what he meant. And they wondered, what's going on here? And some people said they've been drinking some new wine because they were falling on the floor and speaking in tongues. They were dancing and jumping. I said, what's going on here? Somebody said they done got hold of some new wine. And Kepha and Yohanan with the rest of the brethren stood up, and he said to them, we are not drunk as you suppose, but this is that was spoken of by the prophet. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He translated the scripture. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Now let's go back. Let's go to 1 Corinthians and read this same scripture, 1 Corinthians 14:21. I just want to help us. You know, we got to set a platform to teach from. 14. This is why you got to have preachers that will study, preachers that will learn what was said in the original text and the Hebrew text. Now, listen at this in the 21st verse. In the law of the Torah, it is written, with men of other tongue and other lips will I speak to this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, said Yabab. Now, let me read it to you from the Hebrew. It is written in the Torah, that in stammering lips and in tongues, afterward, I will speak to these people. See, the person who translated this from the Hebrew to the English could not fathom what was being said there, so he put men in there with men of another. But there is no such word in this scripture. It is almost verbatim from Yeshayahu 28. This is how I'm going to establish my people. I'm going to baptize them in the Holy Ghost. They're going to speak in tongues, not other tongues, not another tongue. But afterward, they will speak in, but afterward, after that time, they will speak in tongue. What tongue? Spirit tongue. Because nobody understood it in their natural mind. But it had to be interpreted in the spirit. So this morning, I'll leave you with this. Are we, as the people, let me try to explain why I'm going to say this. I told you all those people that I served with, preachers, the whoremongers and adulterers that I served with many years ago. But I knew there was a better way. I knew that the word of God was true. And so I promised God. I said, because I knew I was called to be a preacher. I said, when you send me out, I will establish a church of truth. And I will live by that truth myself, that everyone might know that it's true, because I live by it. I established this church in truth. No one, no person can testify that I've done anything wrong, that I've violated anyone, Or some people might lie and say, I did something to him. But when you ask them what it is, they say, well, we don't know. Because this church was established in truth. And it pains me when I see the people begin to slack off. It's painful. Because we was established in truth, I started out in Jesus' name. But because my heart was to establish the truth, Yahweh gave me the true name of our Savior. And somebody told me, if you use that name, everybody gonna leave you. But I said, it's not my church. This is Yahweh's church. If they leave me, they have left God. But I cannot know the truth and not share the truth with the people of Yahweh. And I shared the truth. Most of the people stayed with me and embraced that truth. Amen. There's powerful spiritual forces that is trying today to draw us away from that truth and make us a normal so-called Christian church where there are no values. Everybody's doing their thing. Or you manufacture the spirit by jumping high, shouting loud. Now, nothing wrong.